Chapter 6. Nestrum, Mandeville Point.
There can be no blame apportioned for your loss at Adamantua.
Laurentius gripped a regicide piece in one of his crane claws and moved it across the board. He placed it in its new position with a heavy click.
To have forecast the advances in technology and strategy employed by the orcs would have required extrapolation bordering upon the insane.
Only a madman could have foreseen what happened at Adamantua, replied Corland.
He studied the regicide board. 16 days it had taken for the ship to travel to Nestrum, where they now waited to rendezvous with another vessel. The Achilles was due to arrive shortly to transfer Corland to Terra. In that time, Laurentius had visited Corland in the medicell to play regicide 38 times, and Corland had lost every single game. Laurentius had offered to disengage his secondary processors during their latter matches, but Corland did not want any such favours. A victory against an opponent that was not trying their utmost to win was no victory at all. The captain grunted and moved a piece.
That would be a succinct summary.
Laurentius's claw hovered above the board, digits clacking open and closed as he considered his next move.
From our own experiences, we can deduce as much. But combined with data from other observations made by the Adeptus Mechanicus vessels in attendance, the evidence is utterly compelling. The orcs have reached some new threshold of technological and societal expansion.
Orcs have always had access to erratic but devastating tech, field projectors, energy beams and such. What makes the attack moon so different? One of their tech savants has stumbled upon a gravitational disruption system.
If we encountered one, perhaps two of these battle stations, I would agree, said Laurentius.
He moved a piece into an assassination position. Corland frowned and studied the board with greater intensity.
The manner in which this technology is widespread and the deployment of the attack moons in a premeditated manner, if not wholly efficient and coordinated, suggests a higher level of interaction.
Intelligent orcs?
Orcs have always been intelligent, Captain, said Laurentius.
His artificial voice sounded strained, the modulator struggling to convey his disapproval.
They have also been numerous and determined, a fact which in retrospect the authorities of our retrospective organizations have failed to consider over recent centuries.
The orcs were broken by the Emperor at Ulanor,
said Corland. He reached towards a piece, hesitated, withdrew his hand.
There have only been scattered encounters for the last 1,000 years.
Which brings me back to my original premise. Only a madman, capable of an astounding and highly illogical leap of thought, could have predicted that the orc menace would return with such strength and means. From the records I have accessed, historical data concerning orc advancements is sporadic. However, I have discerned an underlying trend, not a pattern, as one might think it, but a phenomenon. The orcs operate in bursts of hyperactivity. They explode, rapidly expanding and showing technological advancement on an unprecedented scale, and then, when defeated, recede, quickly. During the peak of their strength, their innovation and cultural intelligence is at its height.
They thrive on momentum.
Corland knew that he was beaten, and indicated as such before gently pushing away the board.
Each conquest, every expansion, feeds into whatever their orcishness?
Exactly. Aggression rewards and enables further aggression. Their progress is measured in plateaus, swiftly reached, which may then decline in defeat or be sustained for a period until another major leap forward occurs.
The attack moons are one such leap.
Of the technological kind. Our companions in the Adeptus Astra Telepathica informs us that there has also been a psychic leap forward. The beast, the driving force at the heart of the latest expansion, is an incarnation of orc psychic potential not seen before.
The two must be linked, said Corland, standing up. If the beast can be destroyed, the foundations of this current plateau of advancement will also be destroyed.
Laurentius positioned himself in front of the space marine as Corland stepped towards the chamber door.
It appears that your heartbeat has increased, as have skin temperature, perspiration, and other vascular activity. One might think that you are undergoing an adrenal rush prior to some form of action, Captain.
I've just thought of something I must do.
Corlin stepped to the right, but Laurentius shifted position to intercept him again.
Step aside, or I will move you aside.
Indulge me for a moment, Captain.
A moment.
The only reasonable explanation for your sudden activity is a resolution to act based on a conclusion drawn from our recent discussion. Reconsidering your words, it would also be logical to assume that this theoretical course of action is related to your conclusion that the orc advances might be halted by the removal of the beast.
What of it?
The psychic and technological advances we have experienced are not the complete picture, Captain. Biological and cultural advances are also highly likely.
What do you mean? That there are types of orcs out there that we might not have encountered before?
Precisely. Whether physically or relating to cultural role. The beast, whatever it is, may be an orc of a different order to anything we have experienced. Increased psychic activity denotes a shift of parameters that eclipses any expectations we might already possess.
You don't think the beast can be killed?
I am sure it can be eliminated. However, I am not sure that whatever plan of action you appear to be initiating will be capable of the feat.
Corlin stepped back, rocked, as if struck. Laurentius's cold declaration had hit him harder than a bolt round, bringing home the realization that the Imperial fists were no more. Corlin steadied himself with a hand on the bulkhead, gripped by an emptiness he had never felt before.
Apologies, Captain. I meant no offense.
None taken, said Corlin.
He straightened up.
Your assessment is right, Magos. There's nothing I can do alone that would kill the beast, and there are no more Imperial fists for me to command in such an action.
Yet you have an alternative plan?
I do.
Corlin stepped towards the Magos, forcing the machine man to retreat quickly.
I need to speak to an astropath.
A meeting I can facilitate, Captain, if you would allow me.
Why would you help me? Said Corlin with a scowl.
It is in the interest of all non-orcs that the beast is stopped. I know that you think me and my kind inhuman, Captain Corlin, but we do have the best interests of mankind in mind on occasion. The Adeptus Mechanicus can no more survive this current onslaught than the Imperium. If you have a plan that will counter the orc threat, I am happy to assist.
Very well. Lead on,
said Corlin, waving towards the door. The two of them encountered only servitors as they made their way aft and up to the top deck of the ship. Here, two combat servitors were stationed at the archway that led into the astropath's crew quarters. The hulking creatures were bigger even than Corlin, with chain blades and gun barrels for fists. Corlin was relieved when the two behemoths stepped aside at a clicked series of commands from Laurentius. The Space Marine was sure he could have bested the servitors, but it was better that he was able to avoid further confrontation with his Adeptus Mechanicus hosts. They were capable of rendering him comatose or immobile if they wished, and he had no desire to be held in such a way. Following Laurentius, Corlin ducked under the arch and into the antechamber beyond. A bell chimed as they entered, alerting astropath Dazan Azarain to their presence. Benches were arranged in a square, looking at a dark stone sculpture depicting the Emperor as the messenger, one hand holding a star on an open palm, wings sprouting from his back. Laurentius and Corlin remained standing. Less than a minute had passed when one of the side doors swished open to reveal a surprisingly young-looking man in a dark green robe. His blank eyes regarded the two visitors as though he could still see. They widened in surprise.
Captain Corlin, I was not expecting this honour.
I have a message to send.
I am not sure.
Azarain's blind gaze strayed to Laurentius.
That is, authorization is...
I am giving authorization, said Laurentius, as Azarain's voice trailed off. Please follow all instructions from Captain Corland.
If you... as you say, Magos...
Azarain looked back at Corland.
What sort of message, Captain?
General broadcast.
Tricky. What with all of the greenskin roaring... and the death screams are...
Azarain fell quiet as Corlin's brow creased into a deep frown.
Of course, I will try my best, and we have relay stations to amplify the signal.
I just felt you should know that communication is ever more precarious, what with us being located close to the heart of the Orc psychic blanket.
The beast is close?
Said Corland. Not the beast as such.
Azarain looked awkward and wrung the tassel of his rope belt in his hands.
There are all sorts of strange signals bouncing back and forth through the warp. The beast, the roar of his coming, is strongest, but it is not the only one. Or it is, but it is echoing back from somewhere else. Or the beast is echoing back all the other roars. It's complicated, and we're not quite sure on the mechanism. Basically, there's an awful lot of roaring.
Can you send the signal, yes or no?
Yes, I can send it. Azarain nodded vehemently. If it's complicated, any subtleties and nuances might be lost. The reverberations of the orc outbursts mean that we must focus on a simple, strong pulse.
The message is very short. Just three words. I want you to broadcast them as hard and as far as you can. Every relay station, every astropath that hears it, is to send it on. I need this signal to break through the orc noise and spread from one end of the segmentum solar to the other. Is that possible?
I will add a rebound cadence to the transmission so that it receives a further general broadcast. Three words? No sounds? No images? Any cipher?
Just three words. As loud and clear as you can make them.
As you wish. Azarain shrugged. The signal should penetrate the green fog without too much effort, if that is the case. What are the words?
Corland took a deep breath and considered the consequences of his actions.
Three words would put into motion a plan laid down by the great Rogal Dorn a millennium ago.
Technically, what Corland was about to do was treason. A gross breach of the oath sworn after the Heresy War when Lord Gilliman's reforms were enacted. Corland did not care. These were dire times. The Imperial fists were destroyed. His honour already crushed. Fell times called for fell actions. He fixed Azarian with a stare and uttered the three words.
The last wall.